Children's message, if I can, please, children, come up front. All right, we got a full house today. Good morning. All right, so today we're going to read off of chapter 27, and it's called Water from the Rock. How many of y'all remember what we talked about last week? Everybody? Yep. All right, so I'm going to ask you two quick questions. What did the Lord provide for Israel to eat in the wilderness? Y'all remember? Came from heaven. What was it? The bread of heaven, yes. But what was it called? What was the name of it? Manna. All right, yes, ma'am. Bread from heaven, which they called manna. So both of y'all are correct. Next question. For God's people, what is the most important spiritual bread of all? Think about it. What is the most important spiritual bread of all for most people, for Christians? What is it? His word, the word of God, through which we receive and feast on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're right. So today we're going to read from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. So if you would, please make your way over there. Chapter 17 of Exodus, verses 1 through 7. So all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted before, therefore the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" All right, so three questions from that, from those verses. The first one is, when Israel was thirsty in Rephidim, what did they do? What did they do? Anybody? Yes, exactly. So they sinned against the Lord by complaining in bitterness. Sadly, they did not treasure the kindness the Lord had showed them. Next question, what happened with the rock? Yes, that's correct. So Moses struck the rock with the rod of God, and the Lord made water come out of it so that all the people of Israel could drink. And the last question, why did Moses name the place Massah and Meribah? It's a tough question. Because of the quarreling of the children of Israel, for they tested the Lord and doubted that he was present with them. So Massah means tested, and Meribah means quarreling. All right? So we're going to reflect and we're going to talk about the main idea. So the Lord provided life-giving water for Israel out of the rock that Moses struck. We know that water flows in rivers, settles in lakes, even flows from mountain springs. But who would have thought that water would come from a rock? And not only a rock, but a rock in the dry, barren desert. But with the God who split the Red Sea, nothing is impossible. He can bring redemption out of slavery, sweet grace out of bitter trials, even life out of death. It was not hard for him to bring water out of a rock, right? But if Israel sinned so badly, why did the Lord provide water out of the rock? So they certainly did not deserve it. He provided the water out of grace because of his promise to Abraham to bless and multiply the Israelites. The water gushed out mightily. It was a plentiful provision that allowed all 2 million of the Israelites to drink as much as they needed. God's grace is more than enough to meet all our needs. This story is a picture of salvation, and the rock is a picture of Christ, right? Like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The rock had to be struck before it could give water to Israel. So Christ had to be struck, to be wounded for our transgressions, to become the fountain of eternal salvation. The rock was struck at the command of God, and Christ was struck by the command and will of God. The rock was struck with the rod of God that Moses used to smite Egypt. That rod was a symbol of justice. On the cross, Christ was smitten by the justice of God for his people's sins. For sinners who thirst for God's righteousness, Christ is precious. Sinners who have been taught how terrible their sin is, who want to have fellowship with God in grace, have a thirst that all the pleasures of this world cannot satisfy. They thirst for God more than the deer that pants for a stream of water in Psalms 42:1. For them, God's grace is precious. Do you thirst for the living God? So we're going to read Psalms 105, chapter 105, verses 41 through 42. And so it says, "He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant." So, question, how does God's promise to Abraham relate to his gracious provision of water out of the rock? How does God's promise to Abraham relate to his gracious provision of water out of the rock? Yes. So Israel deserved to suffer God's judgment for their continual sin of complaining in unbelief. But God showed them grace based on the covenant of grace he made with Abraham. Okay, so the next question, before I ask this question, please go to John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38. And it says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters.'" Living water. All right, so the question is, what does the Lord Jesus say in these verses? Yes. So he invites anyone who thirsts to come to him and drink. So we as believers can drink freely of God's grace in Christ to our soul satisfaction. His grace quenches the deepest longings of the human heart. And last question, how do we come to Christ to drink? Trick question. So how do we come to Christ to drink? If we're thirsty, how do we come to him? Yes, sir. Yep. We have to believe in God and his word, right? And so, yeah, so we come to him if we are thirsty, right? Just as he said, we have to believe in him and his word. All right, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you once again for allowing me to come here and teach from your word, Lord. And thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for the many examples that we have in your word that we can always look back and reflect and find confidence and faith and how good and grateful you have been to us, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for making a way through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that whoever thirsts can always come and drink freely from you, Lord. And it is in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.